What is now for April 15th, 2021? On today's Win, we discuss video games as a cure for ADHD, everything is bigger in Texas, how Texans need a 46% raise to be happy, what is the happiest country in the world, and are humans supposed to be lazy?
Welcome to the Fat and Broke Podcast, where we explore all topics related to lifestyle optimization and being a better human. Nothing is off limits. Now your hosts, Peter Brouillard, Gary Donia, and Sarah Newell.
Welcome back, everybody. This is our What Is Now show, which is a little different than our normal shows. On these shows, we just talk about current events, news, whatnot, and our thoughts on those as they relate to money, health, wellness, whatnot. So we're going to jump right into it. What is now for the week of April 15th, 2021? I am here with my two lovely co-hosts.
Ooh, lovely.
One lovely co-host and one douchebag.
I've been growing more body hair lately, so I'm not lovely. Yeah.
introduce yourselves for all of our new listeners.
I'm Sarah.
Peter.
And I am Gary. All right, Peter.
What's up?
I'm going to convince you that we are meant to be lazy. And then I want you to then allow me to be lazy and not work out at lunch.
What are you talking about, dude?
This article is
based on this article?
Yeah.
Well, this article is this moronic. Is
you can't argue with science.
Okay. Well, I'm going to.
So.
What the hell?
This is from the New York Times, too.
Well, they're idiots.
They're way smarter than you.
No, they're not.
All right. So these people studied bears in their natural habitat and.
Brown bears or black bears?
Grizzlies.
Okay. I was going to say, you forgot grizzlies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They're grizzlies.
It'd be great if it was panda bears.
Yeah. The big ones. the big daddies.
Okay.
Out in their natural habitat.
Uh-huh.
And also on a treadmill in an enclosure. They put them on a treadmill.
So there were two groups.
What?
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, so were the two groups, one in nature and one on a treadmill?
Yeah. There's group in the treadmill, right?
Okay.
And so they basically.
So the control group.
They basically.
How do you put a grizzly on a treadmill?
I know.
Yeah. It was awesome. You should see the pictures.
They put
like a big, it almost looks like, so it's a big glass enclosure around a treadmill and they have them go in there and they lure them in with, they actually used to, I think they said hot dogs and something else. I forgot the other.
So laziness and hot dogs.
Yeah. So they had hot dogs. So the grizzly would walk to the food basically. They're very food driven, right? So they're on the treadmill. There was a person with, there's a little hole that they could put the food through and the person would walk, you know, the grizzly would walk to the food and just keep walking. And so they were studying and they were studying like energy expenditure and like some other things. And trying
Who
to figure
gave
out.
Them money for this?
This is great. So a couple of things that they've noticed. One, like in their own habitat, they generally will move in the way that people move, which is they favor flat paths over slopes and gentle speed over sprint, right? So most people, when they go hiking, in a lot of cases,
you take the path of least resistance.
Right. They tend to walk, they call it like side hill walking or whatever, instead of. So grizzlies do that inherently, right? People do that. Maybe that's where the path goes or whatever.
Sure.
But grizzlies do it. Because they're saving energy, right? That's the easiest path for them. So they're doing that. They also showed that even though in the treadmill setting, they figured out that the most efficient pace for the bear was 2.6 miles per hour.
Okay.
That out in nature, they actually walk at 1.4 most of the time. So
Have
they're
you ever
actually,
seen a grizzly run?
They're actually choosing to be lazy. You know, more lazy
in nature
than they're most efficient. So they're coming in below what is considered peak efficiency for them.
Okay.
They can, like Sarah just mentioned, like us.
They're so fast.
They can choose to go in these quick spurts of energy when and if they need to, but they're.
Do you think that's why they walk so slow though? They're preserving their energy?
Right. So their instinct is to preserve and to be inherently lazy most of the time and save the spurts for only when they have to.
Yeah.
And that this article is saying that we're actually very similar to the bear, contrary to what most people say, is that humans.
So going, I agree with all this.
Going back to like the old times or whatnot, because we were hunter gatherers. When we weren't doing that, when we weren't expending energy, we were meant to lounge by a tree and take a nap. And to
if you look at it through an evolutionary lens, it makes sense.
Right.
I'd be a great bear.
So lounging. Basically, our innate, desire.
Nature is to be a lazy bastard.
Is to be super lazy.
Right, right.
And so why, Peter? Why?
Because you're not a hunter-gatherer.
So why would I have to – why would I go against my genetics – and what I'm why would I do that? Like the world wants me to be lazy. This article has proven that I should be lazy. So tell me why I shouldn't be lazy.
Prove to me why you have to exercise, basically.
Yeah, right. Because I was born not to.
That's true.
From an study says.
I was like, I'm like Lady Gaga. Like I was born this way, Peter.
From an evolutionary perspective, that is correct. However, you don't live how your genes expect to live. You don't live out in nature. You don't live in a cave. You don't hunt and gather your food. You're not moving all the time just to survive. We live in a sedentary society, and if we don't artificially create these hardships for ourselves, then we become soft and weak. And our society is becoming soft and weak because we are failing to give it the correct stimulus that we need.
So you agree, I was born to be lazy?
No.
That took a long time to answer.
You can't argue with science.
No. So I agree that you're inhabiting the body of a 100,000-year-old Neanderthal. However,
yes, you.
You must perform exercise on a daily basis to be the best version of you.
Yeah, I mean, the bear.
Says
the bear,
who?
So the bears don't
says
do that.
Says me. Says the expert.
So the bears don't do that. And a bear could kick your ass.
Yeah, because the bears live in nature.
Yeah, but they meander their way through nature all of the time.
And you would too if you lived in nature, and I wouldn't make you do anything different.
All right, how about this?
You don't have to bench press if you're a bear.
No, listen, this is what I'm going to do. So for now on, I'm going to be super lazy 99% of the time. Like, do nothing. Mm-hmm. When I go to the grocery store, I'm going to sprint around that mother like you wouldn't believe. Like, I'm hunting.
Give me the steaks.
Yeah, like, I'm just stabbing the steaks and, like, just sprinting up and down the aisles.
That's a pretty good idea.
I'm going to hunter-gather my food.
Only if you have a loincloth on.
In a loincloth. Yeah. And I'm going to, like, basically hunt the grocery store. Right?
I can't wait to witness this.
And then I'm just going to go relax.
I would do it with you if you want to next week.
That'd be amazing. As long as you let me, like, not have to work out anymore.
I'll let you not work out for next week if you agree to go in a line class with me into Market Basket.
sounds amazing. A couple weeks ago, they released the World Happiness Project Report, World Happiness Report for 2020. What a year.
What a year to be happy.
What a year to be happy. And so I thought it would be interesting to talk about it real quick just because it was such a crazy year, 2020. And you would think that happiness would be significantly lower in that year. And shockingly.
I for sure would think that, yeah.
Shockingly, it was not. That people.
People are lying.
Yeah, people reported scores relatively consistent with prior years.
It didn't go up, but it was kind of the same-ish?
Yeah, like the overall kind of, yeah, it was kind of the same. Actually, I think it was right around the same number. Statistically, it was no different than prior years. So I thought that was interesting. But what do you guys think? What do you think is the happiest country in the world?
Ooh, for 2020 with all the shit going on?
Norway.
And they're like repeat winners too.
Sweden.
So Nordic countries are usually the self-reported happiest.
Although they like got hit hard.
Yeah.
Well, that was more like Italy, I think, with COVID in Europe.
Take a guess.
All right.
What was your
Sweden.
Guess?
Sweden.
Oh. Both Sweden? No, the Swedes.
You
nope.
said Norway, didn't you?
Who said Norway? Him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. So Finland. You guys were close. Hmm. Yeah,
We're in the domain.
Yeah.
Number one, followed by Iceland, Denmark, Switzerland, Netherlands. So that whole region, right? They generally are happy. We touched on a prior episode that they're also generally more healthy. Mm-hmm. They're a healthier.
Happier culture.
Happier, healthier culture. I think, you know, one of your articles, the blue zones, and one of the blue zones fall into one of those areas. I forget.
No.
They did not.
No.
That shocked me, actually. Mm-hmm. Actually, it does now. Shocks me now that it doesn't fall into there. That you would think in those countries that would be one of those where they live a long time and, you know,
I think they do.
Yeah.
But the percentage of people who live over 100 just don't happen to fall in that area.
Yeah. So in addition to the rankings, you know, the U.S., by the way, was 14th.
Of course.
Yeah.
We hate ourselves.
Well, 14th out of, you know, I don't know how many there are. There's, you know, 40. They ranked, I forget how far down they
but
went. I don't think they did every country.
For the self-professed, like, you know, best country in the world.
Right. We should be higher than
14. We rank pretty goddamn low.
Right. So a couple of things that they pulled out, things that I thought were interesting and this insights and from this article. I forget where I got this article from, but this is from Forbes. So a couple of things they pulled out is that benevolence mattered more than salary.
Benevolence,
meaning like where there's a high degree of trust between people. Like I think they gave the example of like if you lost your wallet, like the likelihood that it would be returned, that kind of thing.
That makes so much sense.
Right. So people were way happier living in countries where trust and benevolence was valued more than money and salary.
Yeah, you can see that, dude. Yeah, for sure.
So that was one thing I thought was interesting. Number two is employment is important.
Wow.
So obviously 2020 pushed that to limits, but countries that were able to keep their people and their economies open and more employed, those countries tended to be a little bit happier and they were more satisfied. And number three, the pandemic may change the way we work, but it doesn't change what makes us happy in our jobs, which I thought was interesting. So they listed off the 11 things that make people happy in their jobs. And those 11 things were exactly the same the year prior as they were this year and in the same order, which I thought was interesting. You would think that like job flexibility, location flexibility, things like that would have moved up, but everything was exactly the same as it was in prior years.
Can you list those off?
Sure. So numbers. So in order from 11 to 1.
Okay.
Going reverse order.
Right.
Number 11, trusting our colleagues, you know, having a level of trust inside. I think I refer to that sometimes in our clinic, or I have referred to it as psychological safety. You know, that feeling that you can be yourself in your
place. I feel like that's way higher up on the list for me.
Yeah. So it's number 11, feeling supported at work.
Same thing.
Being paid fairly. So income comes in at 9. Your salary comes in at 9, which you hear that a lot.
I agree with that one.
Having a manager who helps us succeed. You know, somebody who's in your corner trying to help, you know, some managers are afraid that you're going to take their job. So they don't actually want you to do better at yours. So having a manager who doesn't do that, learning at work, you know, constantly improving, learning, iterating, you know, that type of thing. Working in an inclusive and respectful environment is number 6. And number 5, having time and location flexibility. So again, 2020, you would have thought that would have been a huge, you think that would have moved way up the list for a lot of people, but it stayed right where it was. A sense of belonging, number 4. Number 3 is the one you hear about the most, is feeling appreciated. You know, I think that's really important. Having a clear sense of purpose is number 2. And feeling like we achieve our goals at work was number 1.
Yeah, those are all big.
Yep.
That top 3 is pretty big, yeah.
So number 2, the sense of purpose, I think that one is, that one hits home with me more than anything, because I think that's what people struggle with when they leave work. You know, so as someone, you know, self-professed wanting to, you know, quote unquote, retire early, which is a goal of mine, like not to work until I'm 65. It's really important to me and to Jess that we retire to something, because I need to wake up every day with a sense of purpose.
You can't just be walking around aimlessly.
Right.
You have to have a goal.
Right. And so every day when you wake up and you have a job, you know, hopefully you have a purpose at your job, but when you don't, when you're done working, and that's why some people, you know, obviously struggle with unemployment. When they wake up, they don't feel like they're providing value to their family or to the community. And so that's really hard for people. And I know people who have retired who struggle with that, and they end up going back to work in some capacity. So for me, I'm trying to plan ahead and make sure that doesn't happen to me. But so there you go. The World Happiness Report. It's really interesting. It's very thorough. It's very long. Actually, I just kind of pulled out the bits, you know, Forbes, from that Forbes article. And then there's some others. But the U.S. 14th. So maybe we should move to Finland.
It makes sense to me because I'm like 98% Norwegian and Swedish.
And you're so happy.
Yeah.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. So congratulations to your people.
I get so tan.
Your people are so happy. all right. Why don't we're going to move on. I think you guys each have one and I got a second one to go to. So let's go to Sarah next.
To me? Okay. So I found a thing about a study that solitaire.com did. Have you guys ever heard of solitaire?
No, it sounds like solitaire. A card game though.
Solitaire. It's like that online gaming whatnot.
Huh. So solitaire.
Like the game,
solitaire.
Like the card game, though. Do you think they take it from the card game?
So it's solitaire with a D at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's solitaire.com. So they interviewed or surveyed 3,900 people in each state about what like makes them happy and whatnot. So Texans, this is the article that I got sucked into. It said Texans say that they need a 46% salary increase to be happy. That's a lot.
That seems excessive.
That's like a lot.
That is a lot.
So I don't understand like what's going on. So I think we, in the opening to the show, we said everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah.
I guess they want their salaries to also be like super large.
Yeah.
So I wonder what they, did it say in there what the, by any chance, what the median or average salary is?
So
in
they
Texas?
Said that's an equivalent to about $18,299 per year.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So which is funny because it goes against almost every other study about happiness.
But they need that to be happy. Like that was what that was the,
they need to hit some sort of base number to just feel happy.
Whoever they polled, they're confused.
That's, well, I mean, 46% would be nice. I agree, Texas.
But you figure, so if it's 46%, that just means that the average annual income in Texas is pretty low.
Yeah.
If 46% roughly, let's just say
$20,000
is almost $20,000. That means the average income, I don't know what the average income in the US is, but you're saying everybody in Texas makes roughly on average 40 grand. They want to be at 60 to feel happy.
That seems reasonable.
It actually seems pretty reasonable because 40 doesn't seem for in many cases, not a lot to live off of.
You know, so the national average between all the states was 41%.
Yeah.
Like that's how much everybody of an increase wants more they money. Wanted.
You know what's funny though? Because in all these studies, even I just mentioned in the World Happiness Report, mm-hmm. how income rates really, really low on this. I feel like people might just be full of shit when they fill out some of these surveys.
Yes.
Because sure. I think money's probably more important than what they want to say it is.
Yes. But the highest was Alaska, which was 60%. And the lowest was Arkansas, and that was 20%.
Yeah, Alaska's got a lot of poverty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so freaking cold.
Yeah. But only, all right, so only 15% of the respondents truly believe that money can buy genuine happiness. So that's good. At least that's like a little
bit. They
number.
Say, though, but then they say they want more money.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense. The two things.
There's confusion.
Yeah, the yeah. two things like contradict themselves.
47% of the people admit to purchasing unnecessary items in an attempt to make themselves feel happier.
Peter, can money buy happiness?
No.
No.
I mean, past
it can buy things that make you happy.
Right.
Or,
so
or bring you joy.
So I think we've said it in a prior episode or in an article or something. But for me, it puts you in a position like sort of to be happy, right? It allows you to make choices to make yourself happy.
It allows
happy.
You to not be stressed about the normal daily things that you need to survive.
Right. So in essence, it indirectly can buy you happiness.
Right.
Right. I'm not going out and purchasing the thing that makes me happy. But by giving myself time, freedom, flexibility, by being good with my money and by earning a good income and whatnot, I'm able to make those other choices that allow me to be happy. The thing is, I guess the point here for me is you don't need to make a lot to be able to make those choices. If I make $40,000 a year, if I choose to not, especially in a place like Texas, the cost of living in Texas right. is really low compared to where we are here in Massachusetts. 40 grand in Texas, if you just make some choices, some maybe tougher choices, maybe you buy less house, right? Or you buy less car and you're better at grocery shopping, you can still save money, have a gap, create flexibility, time, freedom to live a happy life on a lower income. That is possible.
Right.
It's not ideal, mm-hmm. but you can certainly do it. I mean, there's that famous study that I think was the cap was $75,000, that if you made above $75,000, it wasn't much significant gain in happiness.
Right.
And that makes sense because that number basically is like most of the things that you need in life you can comfortably do. And then the rest you can decide what to do with. And then so beyond that, money is not going to do anything for you. It's just things, and things aren't, going to bring happiness to you.
Right. 100%. It's certainly easier if you earn more money to do the things that I was talking about. But it's not impossible to do it at a lower income.
So the survey said that 53% of respondents said that the crisis pandemic has prompted them to reevaluate what actually makes them happy.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's about time people start doing that.
So I actually feel like that's the case for me too.
Yes.
That was a great reset for me, the pandemic, that spending more time being forced to slow down and spend more time with my family and some like a closer circle of friends was a great reminder of the value of that for me. So that's good.
I agree.
So they also said this went from like, we need a higher increase to people being lonely. So it was one of three people have turned to gaming, like online gaming or games with their family, to consider themselves to feel less lonely.
Uh-oh, Peter.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, Peter. Start peeing.
I have not been sucked
this. Start peeing. So the board game thing I can relate to, yeah. for sure. I did that, with my family. We got into more board games this year, more than any other year.
You were just around each other more, so you had to figure out something to do with each other.
Yeah, and you could only hang out with like a small group of people.
And shockingly, we have so many streaming services and cable and so many channels, so much content. There's content everywhere. Mm-hmm. I find most of it like super annoying at this point. I'd rather play a board game. I barely watch TV anymore. I found myself this past year, even though that's probably the only thing we kind of had to do or just one of the things we could do because we couldn't go anywhere else. I watched less this year than I think in any year past, and I don't plan on ever going back to that.
Yeah, I'm the same. I probably watch, a couple hours a week at the most if I'm just crashing at the end of the night,
Yeah.
I'm very good at binging shows.
Yeah.
Also, they said that 12% of the people who felt less lonely have formed true friendships online. The people who live alone.
Yeah.
Have.
I could see that.
Formed true friendships.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never thought about making a friend like online during a game.
I made plenty of those, dude.
I was actually going to ask you as a gamer.
I visited somebody in Michigan once that I met only online.
I'm surprised you're still not in his basement. How did you escape from the basement?
Yeah, I just flew out to Michigan. I met this kid 3 years later. I went to go visit his family. We played games together for a week.
Wow. You were such a loser.
So strange.
That is so weird. You get weirder by the day.
I know.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Also, 17%.
Sarah and Gary show is becoming much more of a reality.
I'm banned.
17% report playing online games when they should actually be working.
Of course.
I feel like that's a very low number.
I mean, the number for that for students would be way higher.
Yeah.
Like 80% of students are probably playing games instead.
They have like just the tab off to the side where there's a little game going on.
Yep. And then it ended with people are getting more satisfaction from things that don't cost a lot of money, like spending time with their friends, family, fun, and social events.
Yes. Which, I think people reevaluated a lot of things, and one of them is money, because obviously people lost their jobs or their job was really uncertain for a long time. And so they had to reprioritize how they spent the money. And now I've read a couple other studies and articles where people, now that we're reopening, they're doing what you mentioned, like with the cleanse. It was like a reset. Yeah. And then you slowly reintroduce things back in. And that's what people are doing. They're looking and saying, did I really need that thing that I need to? Did I need to have season tickets to the Celtics? Like, I didn't really miss it that much, you know, or whatever. And they're being more intentional about what they add back in now that they're coming out of that more uncertain period. So,
yes,
I think it was good.
I actually want to take this survey.
Yeah.
Online survey. I don't know. I should look it up because I just feel like I want to know what the other questions are.
Sure. Oh, if you take it, we can. You're literally playing.
I clicked
solitaire
on the link
right
and it brought me to a game of solitaire.
Which is what Peter and I
17%, guys. I'm one of them.
All right, Pete, what do you got?
So recently, the USDA has approved the first ever video game therapeutic as a treatment for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in children, and it's based on research done by this guy named Adam Gasly. He has a history of doing this type of research with video games. So before we get into that, the actual video game is called Endeavor RX. So RX means prescription. It basically is a game that can be prescribed by doctors, and you can't buy the game. You can't get the game unless your medical, doctor tells you that, your kid would benefit from this. And so they recommend 25 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And so it's kind of based off research that was done in 2013 by their team. And they published a paper in Nature reporting that 6 weeks of training with a video game called NeuroRacer, which is along the same lines, improved attention in older adults. And so they concluded that it did this by improving the performance of the video game by enhancing the function in a brain network that has to do with involving cognitive control. And so it seems like their brains modulated a key neural network so that it came to resemble the activity that was seen in the brains of young adults. And so they've done a lot of research over the years since 2013 about this, and they've been working with like a game developer, and they've been creating these games so that they can be distributed in this way. And I just find it fascinating that it is literally the first video game that's been released by the FDA, so the Food and Drug Administration, as a medication, to treat a disease.
That's really cool. So two thoughts come to mind when I hear this. One, it's really interesting, but that's not one of the thoughts. One is I love that they're following this theory of meet them where they are,
mm-hmm.
right? These kids, this is what they do.
This is what they do now.
So meet them where they are. It's easy to get a kid to buy into something that they already enjoy doing. And if it's proven to help them, then great. So meet them where they are. And my other thing is, as a parent, if I had a kid with ADHD and my mission as a parent almost every day is to minimize my kid's screen time, like, I would have trouble as a parent being like, hey, I want you to play this game because it's going to make you better.
Just play more games.
Play more games. So for me, it's this back and forth between it seems great. I don't know if I would be able to do it as a parent.
Yeah. So I would have to dive into the research there and say, like, exactly what is this game doing that other games are not? And
what kind of game is it? Like,
So
can I just give my kid drugs? No.
Can I? So it's a racing game that also requires you to do like mathematical tasks it's having you focus on the aspect of the game while also having these other cognitive functions that you have to perform in order to continue along with the game. So you're multitasking between automatic gameplay and actually thinking about like a word problem or a mathematical problem while you play the game. And so the point of that is that you're activating two brain centers at the same time, and you're improving the performance of those two brain centers as they communicate. Like, you're actually making neural connections that were otherwise unformed is kind of, the whole point of how that works.
So do you have to play it for a long time, like for the rest of your life, or like medication, or is it like?
So great question. Yeah. So they actually did the study in 2013, and then they were shocked that I don't know exactly how long it was later. I think I want to say like 6 years later, they took all of the participants again. They looked at them, and it showed that they actually had retained not all, but some of the improvements that they had gained from the actual like study itself. I think it was only like a 30-day study too. So, so pretty cool.
It is very cool.
Yeah.
Technology, right?
Amazing.
I mean, we do something similar at work. We started using like the virtual reality as a treatment in our physical therapy clinic. So I guess we've explored something similar, maybe not with as much, you know, professional research.
Right.
Similar idea. We're trying to do something different with the technology.
We're trying to help someone physically with technology.
Right. And again, with a lot of our young people, that's something that they can, you know, we can get them to move and do things in a more enjoyable way.
Right.
To get more buy-in, you know, meet them where they are.
It seems interesting. So, you know, for anybody that's interested, if you just look up Endeavor RX, E-N-D-E-A-V-O-R-R-X, it'll bring you to a website that actually brings you through a checklist of three different things that you need to do if you want your child with ADHD to be potentially prescribed this by a doctor. And I'm not affiliated with this whatsoever, but this is just something when I was doing the research that I read that you could potentially talk to your, you know, medical doctor about getting this done.
I also heard that Doesn't Grand change. Theft Auto is very good for the same.
Oh, yeah?
It helped me through my teen years.
I think it's, yeah, Call of Duty, I believe, also very effective.
I played Grand Theft Auto.
I'm an excellent driver now.
Oh, yeah.
That's how Sarah learned to drive.
Yeah, just, you know, driving on curbs, hitting people.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Good game.
Does insurance cover this?
That's a great question. I didn't dive that deep into it.
Yeah,
I'm
probably not
sure.
Because insurance doesn't cover a whole lot these days, as we know.
That is true.
So that was our last one, right?
Yeah,
we each did one. All right. So that is What Is Now for the week of April 15th. Again, if you like our content, you like our shows, you like our What Is Now, we ask that you please hit subscribe on your podcast player of your choice. Check out our website, gettingfatgoingbroke.com. Any other plugs you guys want to put out there?
You can check us out on Instagram and Facebook.
Getting Fat Going Broke.
GettingFatGoingBroke.com. Oh, you already mentioned that one.
Well, just I think that's the Instagram.
Oh, yeah,
Facebook.
At Getting Fat Going Broke.
At Getting Fat Getting Going Broke. So that's where
Give
you can
us your
find
feedback.
Us. Yes, but for us, for the podcast, hitting subscribe is the most important thing. So please go and do that. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And that is it for What Is Now.
Have a great week, everybody.
Love
Have
you
a
guys.
Great week.
I'm excited. You're the
Why
best.
Don't we finish this show with Better Every Day, too? Why don't we just do that on the other
better
one?
Better every week.
We don't want them to get better on Thursdays.
No, just on Mondays.
I want everyone to get better. Better every day.
Better every day.
Say
including
it, Pete.
Thursdays.
Do it, Pete.
Hey there. This is Sarah. Thanks for listening to the Fat and Broke podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Fat Broke Pod. Also, head over to our website at thefatbrokepod.com for more content and nonsense like this. Thank you for listening to the Fat and Broke podcast. The Fat and Broke host and guest provide general information, advice, and entertainment, but not medical or financial advice. Please consult a medical, financial, or other professional before making any lifestyle or financial changes. In other words, please don't listen to a thing these assholes have to say.